Gosh, well, nerds here doing a hypothetical. We do a few of these every year. They're a lot of fun. May end up we have this actual discussion, this actual preview at some point later in the year. But we thought it'd be fun, given that it's a little bit of a down week this week for college football, which every time we say that, something crazy happens and it's super interesting. But we want to talk hypothetical Georgia and Ohio State. We've run the model. It's super interesting. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it. And just want to, before we get started, I want to remind you a couple things. One, we're not going to predict this game because it's hypothetical. We're going to talk about it. We're not going to predict it. You can predict it in the comments, or you can tell us what you think this game would look like if they played today on a neutral field. Two, we do a live show, and this has been a lot of fun this year because we're the only channel that's really talking about the game Saturday night as they're happening and letting you all, or y'all as we like to say it, y'all drive the conversation because we're responding to the questions you're asking us in real time instead of having like a pre-recorded live show that we put up, which nothing wrong with that. And so that's the links to that are going to be in the description as well. And we also did a Georgia-Kentucky preview, plug, and all that. Okay, Josh, one of the reasons we're doing this hypothetical is even weeks ago, even right after Ohio State lost to Oregon, somebody asked us in the live show, like, who's going to challenge Georgia or Alabama this year? They're so far ahead of everyone else. And we said, look, Georgia or Alabama in the playoffs, which we've seen Alabama lose in a game earlier in the year. Georgia did in 2017 as well to Auburn, be a completely different team in the playoffs from the postseason. So let's, for that sake, keep these two together. Georgia and Alabama in the playoffs are a juggernaut. We don't see somebody beating them or at least going back-to-back running that gamut other than two teams in the country because of the talent level and the ceiling. That's Oklahoma, who I had preseason number one, and that's Ohio State. And a lot of people laughed at us because they were like, look, they just struggled with Tulsa. They just, you know, lost, got run over by Oregon. This is a ridiculous take. And we're like, wait a minute. Look at that roster, and if they put it together, let's talk ceiling and possibility more than just what we're seeing right now, because the maturation and the change of a team over a season is real. And I think we're seeing some of that come out, at least offensively, because they haven't had a chance defensively as they haven't played anybody, in the numbers and on the field to show that. So without any more of me blabbering on, Josh, why don't you get into the model and we'll pivot our discussion off of what the model says about a potential matchup with these two teams.
So right off the bat, the model has the game dead even. It has Ohio State 32, Georgia 32. And the way our model works, it does actually get into decimal points. If you want to be technical, it's like Georgia 32.3, Ohio State 31.9. But for all intents and purposes, this is a dead even game, 32 all. And when you try to break it down, there's a lot of complications that come into why the model comes to the conclusions it does, how it evaluates scoring. If you want a presser on the model and you want really, really deep dive detail, we'll put a video link in the description where we really try to explain the model in length. I don't want to do that. The short version of it is, you know, it's a self-learning model that looks at how your team's done relative to competition and figures out what you need to score and how you're going to do against a specific opponent. In this game, Georgia has much better defense, right? 54% of opponent rushing averages is an insane number. We talked about that in our Georgia-Kentucky preview that we just did. If you're watching this that week, you should check out that preview. I think it's some of the better stuff we've done. That number is a total elite. That's the same as that really generationally good Clemson defense put up around 2018. Alabama's defense in 2016 had similar numbers. You're cutting the average production that a team brings into a game in half. Ohio State's like 92%, and that's really average or below average. And I say that because you got games against teams like Tulsa and Akron in there, and Tulsa and Akron have played a lot of other bad teams to where you should shine in those games, and you should be like 90% just because, look, a lot of the teams you're playing don't play competition level that is equal to you, and you should look a little better than those teams if you're an average P5 team. So 92% of opponent passing averages and rushing averages is a very average by P5 standards defense, whereas Georgia, 54% of opponent rushing averages, and this is kind of the key, 74% of opponent passing averages. Why do I say that's the key? Anything in the 70s or 60s or below 70s in pass defense or 60s and below in rush defense is elite. That's the point where you are a truly elite defense. It's very rare to see numbers that good. The 80% range in pass defense is phenomenal. But see what I'm saying? It's like 20 to 25% reduction in pass defense is top end elite. That's the best you can do. And what do I like? What does that equate to? So let's talk about last year, okay? Top passing offense in the country last year was Alabama. They were 11 yards per attempt. Where was Georgia? They were 8.2 yards per attempt. Georgia had a good passing offense on average when the season ended. They've been really productive through the end of the year. JT Daniels took it to a high level. And Stetson Bennett also had some pretty darn good games before he kind of struggled against better competition and got replaced. But on the whole, 30th in the country in yards per attempt, Georgia was. The difference between Alabama and Georgia? Almost exactly 25%. So if you look at what Alabama is last year and you say, I am the best pass defense possible, an elite top-end pass defense, I'm going to drop you by 25% of your average. What you managed to do is drop from Alabama to Georgia in 2020. And Georgia was still good. Georgia would still score on you. They still had 10-plus yards per attempt against Cincinnati. And that's the kind of the offense that you'll create. The reason for that is offenses travel. You can shut down a team that's run dominant. That's why a lot of those Big Ten teams struggle in a lot of games. They get blown out in the playoffs, frankly, because they are so dependent on the run. Ohio State's not built like that. They can throw the football. They're averaging 11 yards per attempt right now. Same average that Alabama had to end the year last year. And so even though Georgia's pass defense is really top-end elite, you still hold them back to being about as productive as Georgia was last season. And so you end up with, even though Georgia's defense is way better than Ohio State's defense, Ohio State's offense is a clip better than Georgia's offense. Not ridiculously better. I mean, Georgia's 9.6 yards per pass attempt, 4.7 yards per carry, but they're still a clip better, about 6 yards per carry, about 11 yards per pass attempt. And a really big gap in defensive quality cannot make up for a decent gap in offensive quality, because it's so hard to slow down an elite offense that even though the defensive gap is really pretty substantial, and if you were to do like average player rating, and this was NCAA football, Georgia's average player rating is going to be higher than Ohio State's because of the defensive gap. The things that matter, Ohio State has an advantage. And so in our model, it looks at that, looks at how scoring's produced and says, you know what, this game is going to actually end up being a pick 'em, depending based off where the teams are right now, only on this year's play, you know, points, turnovers, yardage, not based off recruiting rankings or anything like that. Georgia may even outgain them, the model says, about 6.3 yards to about 5.7 yards. But Ohio State is so much more explosive that those plays lead to points, and that makes up for the defensive gap and makes this, on the actual field, in our model's view, a dead even game.
And what Georgia fans are going to say, and I think they have a legitimate point, is, okay, but your model's been off on Georgia all year. And what we noted in the Georgia-Kentucky preview was that it has been pretty good, pretty spot on, at least in the Auburn game, on Georgia offensively. It's getting better. It's getting more data. It's getting about right on Georgia offensively. What it's not getting right is Georgia defensively. It's undercrediting Georgia defensively in what they expect that Georgia will allow versus what they actually allow in these games. We saw it with Arkansas. We saw it with Auburn. I think it said Auburn would score about 20. They ended up scoring half of that. And this gets me to the point, because I think it's baked into the model here, maybe if we're pointing out something in Georgia's favor, in that, what do I see on Twitter all the time? Every time we post a tweet about Georgia, they say, Georgia's defense looks good, but they haven't played a good offense, which is true. But in terms of modeling, that's actually harder to show how good you are. Because think about this. If you're 54% of an opponent's rushing average, and they're so bad that they only average 2 yards a carry on the season, you got to hold them to like 1.2 yards per carry to hit your averages. That's really freaking hard to do Just it just is. The closer you get, the worse you get as a rushing offense or a passing offense, the harder it is to show how elite you are defensively, because there's just so little you can hold them to behind their average at that point. So that's where I think that in this model, it's probably the case that it's not able to totally account for just how good Georgia's defense is, which means they might be giving Ohio State a little more on the scoreboard than actually would show up. Now I would like for you to counter that and take the Ohio State side of this discussion and how maybe it is, you know, pegging them right or maybe underpegging their offense.
The counter I would make to that is we've heard this argument over and over again. We hear it in the playoffs and they say our defense is too good. And then Deshaun Watson comes out and lights up Alabama, right? And Alabama comes out and they light up Ohio State. LSU comes out and they light up Clemson. Really high level passing offenses really consistently do carry their production over. And I do agree the model probably can't even fully understand how good Georgia is, especially like run defensive numbers. But to some extent, the point there is no matter how good your defense is, you know, even when you're playing an FCS team that's horribly outmatched, they frequently score points on you. Because the game of football is not as simple as checks or checkers, right? There's coverage busts that happen if people just execute at a high level, even a really poorly talented team that's very badly mismatched. If they throw a bomb and a guy makes a phenomenal catch, he moves the football. You get some yardage, and then you can set up a field goal or a touchdown. You bust a play, anybody can score on you. And so points do happen. But really high-level offenses make a lot of those clutch catches. They make good reads against coverage. And just like NFL-style football, if you can scheme well where you've got good route combinations and you properly read coverage, you can find holes in a seam. You can run man beaters. And in the RPO era, the safeties can't really react because they can't read run pass. And that's what Ohio State does. So now all of a sudden with Ohio State, you play flat footed. They can get some matchups. They can guess that you're going to be man or zone and catch you in a situation where you just kind of can't win. And so you do score points. And the big thing with Ohio State, I would say, is that every explosive national champion offense for the past several years has been, you see my voice cracking, we've been talking way too long tonight. Every high-level passing offense for the past several years has been predicated upon having first-round draft pick receivers, having elite receiver play, and they've got that in Olave and Wilson, and they've got backups in Fleming and Smith and Jigba, who seems to be slowly coming on now. They've got the guys to stretch the field vertically because it creates so many problems for defense, and it leverages so many really just broken rules in the current rule set, and that's where Ohio State is built to go. And the more C.J. Stroud takes steps forward and becomes the quarterback that he can become and can use his legs a little bit, but especially use his mobility to extend plays and throw vertical shots, the more Ohio State skill position players, and I'm throwing Henderson in there too, are going to be able to put up points. And I'll flip back to you. So there's another point to this if you're talking the end of the season. My model is based off production that's happened on the field to this point. But one thing it doesn't account for, injuries. How much better do you think Georgia could be if they get their receivers fully healthy and they actually have a healthy JT Daniels for the playoff?
Well, you know I'm a Stetson Bennett stan, so I'm going to say that I secretly believe that Stetson Bennett is just better. Georgia fans are going to think that's crazy, but I think that there is maybe evidence that would argue that he's better, so that's not a huge issue. The wide receiver thing is, to me, especially, I think Burton is a big deal. I think Washington, as you said in our other preview, there's a difference between playing and being eligible to play and being on the field and being fully healthy. We saw that with Jalen Waddle in the national championship game last year. He really wasn't ready to go. He was on the field and he had a couple impact plays, but he wasn't the guy that he is this year for Miami in terms of health. So I think that's a big deal, especially when we're looking at needing to lean on McConkey for, you know, the big the big monster games. So I think it's important. I don't know how much you would counter that with how much we've seen Stroud mature in just a few weeks, that by the end of the year, he's now got a full season of being a starter under his belt versus what we saw against Oregon, where he was still just trying to understand the speed of the game. I want to make one point about the Georgia defense, though, because this is the best way I know how to contextualize this. And I don't think our model is giving them enough credit in terms of what they can do to opposing offenses, because there's just a floor. Like you said, it's going to assume a certain amount of points for anybody. Penn State has an excellent defense. A lot of people think that, you know, Clifford stays healthy. They beat Iowa. They're number two this Saturday. So possibly the number two team in the country with an elite defense. Auburn ran at Penn State, ran for 4.6 yards per carry. Tank Bigsby had 102 yards, two touchdowns. The backup running back had 7 yards per attempt. Georgia held Auburn at Auburn to 1.6 yards per carry. That is wild to me. So I do think there's some production there that's maybe not looking at. So, Josh, I want to ask you this, because what we try to do is when we know we might piss off some fans, we wait. We talk a lot, and then we only got the real fans that can take a little bit of maybe hypothetical criticism towards the end of the video, because they're going to have a little more level look at things. Josh, how much of this good elite Georgia defense or good elite Ohio State offense is maybe possibly fool's gold based on competition level, especially Ohio State, given that we've seen who they've played so far in this stretch of being good?
I think it's a fair question on both sides. And, you know, I'm going to start off by saying you think Bennett is just as good as Daniels. I don't know that I would totally agree with it in this context. I think if you're trying to beat Kentucky, if you're trying to beat Auburn, Bennett is more efficient than Daniels. He's very decisive. He gets the ball out fast. He knows how to make quick reads. He runs the offense at a very high level. If you're trying to beat an Ohio State, you need to be able to throw vertically, because if you let them compress the field and you don't throw over the top, and Bennett can complete the easy pass, but he can't really drop it in the bucket the way Daniels can, you suddenly deal with a lot of speed and the holes start filling up really quickly underneath. You've got to spread them out a lot more down the field, not just horizontally. But from Ohio State's perspective, right now when we record this video, they've played Tulsa, they've played Akron, they've played Rutgers. And look, Rutgers is a pretty good team. Maryland had, you know, games where they looked pretty good, but we've also seen them collapse and then play really poorly down the stretch a number of times. And they seem to be quite possibly in collapse mode right now. But, you know, let's take Rutgers, for example, passing defense. Yeah, they're 8.3 yards per attempt allowed in the year, but that's because they allowed 5.5 to Temple and 6 to Syracuse. After those games and an FCS 3.9 yard per attempt outing defensively against Delaware, they give up 10.2 yards per attempt to Michigan, 12.3 yards per attempt to Ohio State, and then 12.6 yards per attempt to Michigan State. Michigan State and Ohio State attempted the same number of passes. Michigan State actually ended up with more yards passing than Ohio State did. It is fair at this point to question whether any of those defenses are going to end up even in the top 100 in passing defense nationally. Personally, and I'm recording this and I may eat massive crow, I have serious doubts that CJ Stroud is consistent enough to be able to operate their passing attack the way they want it operated against a high-level defense that can cover well and can actually generate pressure. I don't think he makes his reads nearly quickly enough. I think he misses too many open throws. And you're not going to have tons of opportunity, and you're not going to have three open targets. You're going to have to make your reads and find your open targets, and you're going to have to do it quickly against a team like Georgia. And I think they would have a lot of issues with that, and I think they're going to have issues with that later in the year, and I think that's going to maybe tamp down the model a bit. So as much as we talked about how bad competition can make you know, sort of look worse than you are defensively, just because, like, Georgia's allowing 5 yards per pass attempt. That's an insane number, guys. 5 yards per pass attempt is insane. But their opponents average less than 7 yards per attempt, so it's hard to distinguish yourself. offensively, you can look better than you really are, because offenses tend to explode when they get past a certain number of yardage. And Ohio State's been averaging over 7 yards a play in every game, but they haven't faced a defense anything like Georgia. And Oregon is good, but they're not, especially in that game with the injuries, they had anywhere near Georgia's level in terms of overall talent. I mean, maybe if they're 100% healthy, but they just aren't, and they certainly weren't then. So I do think Ohio State's offense isn't going to be quite what they are on paper here. I think Georgia's defense is going to have to deal with Ohio State's matchups. I think Georgia offensively needs a vertical passing game. And to me, that's why I brought up the point. I think the key for Georgia would be to develop a dynamic receiving core, and they really need Daniels back that they can stretch the field vertically. I think Ohio State would have trouble offensively. And I think really depending on how that goes and which team can develop their offensive consist either on Ohio State in terms of getting consistency or in Georgia in terms of getting explosiveness is going to really determine who actually has the edge when the season ends.
And I'd give you a little bit of pushback on Stroud in that what I think is we saw a lot of Stroud struggling early when he was just coming into taking the reins, and that there is good that can be gleaned from murdering bad teams. And I think this stretch of weak defenses was really just what the doctor ordered for him to get an understanding of where he can be successful in the field and how he can be successful in the field, and to play in a game where there wasn't the pressure of him having to have everything on his shoulders because that Ohio State defense was getting kind of run on. And I think the defense has figured some stuff out too. So while I do think the potential of your concern is still there, I would say that it's less for me than it was 4 weeks ago because I've seen him perform consistently. And let's not forget, you know, one of those games, I think it was the Akron game, he didn't play. But we have seen him consistently sort of get more comfortable in that. And we weren't seeing that early in the year against not great teams like Minnesota and Tulsa. So, all right, Josh, I want to see this game. Like 1 to 10, this is an 11. I want to see this game happen because it is so interesting given sort of the deficiencies and, you know, efficiencies on either side of the ball. It's just a different matchup. Give me a parting shot on this one, kind of what you think about, like, if we saw this game today versus if we saw this game in January, how much difference could it be? Or here's a better question. Today versus January, who do you think has the highest ceiling opportunity to get better to secure the win in this game between now and the end of the year?
I think it's Ohio State. Georgia has some opportunities with their receiving core to get healthy, to get guys like Burton on the field. You know, Mitchell has come on as a pretty good player for them. And, you know, those guys can give a lot more explosiveness than they have right now. Quite frankly, you're not going to wow anybody with Ladd McConkie when you're playing really high-end secondaries. You're just not going to do it. And they have the ability to do that with them and then JT Daniels getting healthy. But my answer is in no way a slight to Georgia. It's the fact that Ohio State has an insane amount of depth and talent at the receiving core. They've got talent at the running back position now with Henderson coming on strong. They've got insane talent on the offensive line. The defense is ridiculously talented if it can put itself together. And I think they're turning that corner very quickly, something we didn't even touch on. So if they can put all those things together in terms of and pair it with a quarterback, look, nobody in the country has as many five-star receivers, and I mean that literally, as Ohio State does. Nobody in the country can put as many five-star threats to score on the field at the same time as Ohio State, and that includes Georgia and Alabama. So the ceiling for Ohio State, when you pair that with a very talented and experienced defense of their own, is sky high, especially given how important the offensive side of the ball is in today's game. The question is, how far can they get with that? And how far can Georgia get in response, knowing their defense is still going to end the year being probably a much better unit than Ohio State's, even if Ohio State's is very, very good.
All right, y'all. Let us know in the comments who you think will win this game. We're not predicting it, but that doesn't mean you can't predict it. And don't forget, check out our Georgia versus Kentucky preview. Even you Ohio State fans can drift down into SEC territory and have a good bit of football discussion. We have a bunch of Ohio State fans that watch every single video, come to every single live show. Bruce, Edward, those guys, great, as well as many others. Could be some more y'all that might get on that train. Show up for the live show, too. That's a lot of fun. Thanks so much, y'all. That's enough of me talking. Have a great week, and God bless.